now we come back as to where we are now. We are just at the beginning of the Karma Yoga, in which emphasis now falls first upon purification, concentration, and renunciation. Now, where do we see here these three elements? We see here because Sri Krishna says that our will is normally impure because of desire. There is a distinction which is made here between will and desire. The second and third chapters are given to this great distinction. The will is not to be excised. The will is not to be destroyed, because that is the instrument. If you have to fight, you must have the will to fight. So will is not to be destroyed. But this will is normally vitiated, impurified by the presence of desire. Now desire also looks like a will. If you examine the psychology of desire, you find in desire there is always this element of will. Desire impels you. All will is force applied. And transformed into action so as to produce a result. This is the meaning of will. It's a force transformed into an action applied to produce a result. This is the basic meaning of will. Now this will in us normally is vitiated. It is in a state of impurity. That impure will is called desire. Now what are the elements of this impurity? We are never a force, pure and simple. We are a bundle of a force which is resisted by inertia. Our force is rajas. Our force is not the will, which is called real will, which is only a force of action. Ours is rajas, there is a fever in it. That fever is again contradicted in us with idleness, sloth, negligence. At the same time, there is a force of action, but it is contradicted because in us there is this tamas all the time. You cannot do any, in our psychology, it is impossible that sattva, rajas and tamas do not obtain together in different proportions. So normally our action is rajasic. But rajas, which is greatly contradicted by tamas, some kind of inertia. We want to do something, but we do not want to do the whole thing. You will see this is one of the greatest problems of human life, that even when we want to do something, we don't want to do the whole thing. At a certain stage you will say, I will go so far and no more. That will happen. Or, this is my function, not my function. That is not my function. Now somebody else must take it up. I have done all that I can. Somebody else must take it up. Or there is sattva, which comes with its knowledge and gives you a balm of quietude. When you want to do action, there is a balm of quietude which tells you be quiet, don't be feverish. It gives you lots of questionings. Are you really doing the right thing? Are you really doing the wrong thing? What will be the consequence of it? What will be the consequence of that? So sattva, although it is intelligent, it gives you knowledge, but it also stops the force of action. Now these are impurities of our will. So the will which is impurified by sattva, rajas and tamas becomes desire. This is one aspect of desire. The second aspect of desire is that there is an object, a result. As I told you, will is a force applied to action to produce a result. But here, one becomes more exclusively turned to result, producing of result, and not so much careful in applying the force, not so much careful in really doing the action. But there is a tremendous vivacity to produce the result now, here, now, and wanting it right now. That is desire. The will to produce a result, nothing wrong about it. All action is nothing but will or force applied to action so as to produce a result. But we are so weak that we do not give so much of importance of force. We don't gather enough force, first of all. We don't really plan action properly. But we want to do something, immediately want to reap the results. So there is a disproportionate relationship between force, action and result. In other words, our entire emphasis falls actually upon enjoyment of result. Our force of will is a little. Action is imperfect. But as far as the tendency to enjoy the result is quick. And even when that result comes, you find that, oh, this is not what I wanted. I forgot what I really wanted. I wanted something else. So even that we are not sure. Such is the condition. This is the psychology of desire. Desire is basically a tendency to enjoy the fruits of action about which we are not sure and which we are not going to satisfy with, and in regard to which the force is very little and the action is hardly planned properly or hardly adequate for producing the result that is desired. This is the psychology of desire. All of us are subject to this desire. Apart from sattva, rajas and tamas, this is another strain in our desire. Third is that in every desire and every action there is a very powerful psychological strain in which I put myself in the center. In every desire there is a central focus, you might say, a central knot. I put myself in the center without knowing who I am, first of all, but there is an idea, a vague idea, I. If you really examine what is I, it will be quite evaporating. But without, we don't do that. We simply have an idea of an I. And that I is functioning in a very peculiar manner. It is self. I is a self-contradiction. I is a finite which does not want to remain infinite, but which does not want to become infinite either. It's a self-contradiction. The finite that does not want to remain what it is, and does not want to be another than what it is. At the same time, if you really examine your psychology of the I, you will always find it does not want to remain what it is. It wants to enlarge itself, wants to bigger. And yet, anything that pokes it and says, "Be become," it resists it. I want to remain myself. I am I. This is the psychology of the I. Then I want to be I, not only that, but I want to be the center of action. This is another aspect of our desire. I want to be the center of it. That is to say, for me, the whole action is moving on in the world in which I am putting what I say my action, without realizing that, look, when there is a whole universal action is going on, you are putting this one, how can you be centered? It is obvious you cannot be centered, but ignorantly, I want to be the center of it. And I want to say that everything ultimately must abide by my action. And ultimately, my point should be the central point. I should make the central contribution. My name, Napoleon feels that my name in history should go down in such a way that the whole world was remade by Napoleon, which is impossible. But that is his ambition, that is his idea. This centrality is another weakness in the whole action. And third, when the result is produced, I must be the enjoyer of it. So this I has these threefold characteristics. It wants to be itself and yet not to be itself. It wants to be the center and it wants to enjoy itself. If possible, then only soul enjoyer, if possible, if the world allows, the soul enjoyer, or if not, mind should be the lion's share. This is its fundamental urge. Now, this is a threefold state of our egoistic consciousness.